Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm still in the 24-hour rule where I'm allowed to be upset about what happened last night. Welcome into hour two of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings on VSiN and DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi's over there on the East Coast. Stormy Bonantoni here out west at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Both favorites, Michael, upset outright in pretty unbelievable fashion last night. And I'm still not over it. And you know what? I think that's okay. I've got a little bit more time.
You know, when you looked at Miami, right? They're going home. Don't have to go north until the Christmas Day against Baltimore, New Year's Eve, Baltimore, they go. So they're in South Florida. They get a nice little Tennessee Titans team coming in. They watch Kansas City lose, right? You know, they've got a chokehold over the first seed. Mm-hmm. You know, they see Baltimore struggle. You got the Jets next week. You got a tough game against Dallas and Baltimore. But, you know, we'll get through this. Boom. Tennessee wins the game outright. Outright. I mean, they lost to the Colts last week. They gave up how many points to the Colts? 31 points to the Colts, or no, it was the 30. They lost by six. It was a touchdown at the end of the game. So, I mean, like, seriously, they give up all these points and you can't score. They score 7 points. That was a hard one. And then the Tommy DeVito saga continues here in New York. I mean, look, it's a great story and give the kid a lot of credit for being competitive. But the Packers, I mean, I'm not sure the Giants won the game. The Packers lost that game. You know, 2 for 5 in the red zone, all the turnovers, can't stop the run. I mean, that's a tough, tough loss for any Packer fan to have to digest.
I feel that way about both games. And that's not that we aren't giving the Giants and the Titans credit, because especially what happened out there in Miami on the road after you hadn't won a road game all season long, for you to pull that off, remarkable. Down 14 with less than 3 minutes to go, something that the team in that position had won 767 consecutive times prior to that in regulation. So, like, credit where credit is due. But more so, I feel like teams that have the talent and ability and what we have seen in recent history. We talk so much about those recent game sample sizes. I fully believed whether the Packers were going to cover or not wasn't a question. Was a question more than if they were going to win. I felt so firmly that Green Bay was going to win that game. I felt so firmly that Miami was going to win yesterday, and they shot themselves in the foot in pretty crazy fashion. And with the Tommy DeVito of it all, you said it, it's a great story. Josh Dobbs was a great story for a time, too. So are we going to see this wonderful, fun, Mambo Italiano thing fall off of a cliff here soon? What do you think?
Well, I think it would be ideally to play Green Bay this week at home against Tampa, because their value is going to go back down to lower than it should be. And I think you should play the Saints. But when you watch the Saints play, how do you have any confidence that they can do anything? I mean, when you look at that box score against Carolina, that the score was so deceiving.
Yeah, it was not indicative of how that game went.
Carolina didn't punt after midway through the first quarter. They're 1 for 7 on fourth down in the game. I mean, Carolina had the ball first and goal at the one and couldn't get it in the end zone. They had a chance to win that game outright. And, you know, we know there's conflict. I mean, for the first time, we've read about how unhappy the players are in New Orleans with Carr, about how they're not buying into his leadership. There's some concerns about this, and it's finally coming out a little bit. So, you know, should they be able to give DeVito trouble? Yes. Should Dennis Allen's scheme create a lot of problems for DeVito? Yes. Playing in the Superdome, where the Saints have not been great this year, should that give them problems? Yes. I don't know if I want to play it yet. I really don't. I mean, I think the line, when I saw it this morning, it was 6.
Yep, that's where I see it right now.
I don't know. I'm hoping that it gets to 5 or something. I mean, that's the same number that Carolina had going into the week.
So it looks like we see some fives are out there. I'm looking at my screen that I just refreshed on DraftKings, and it has it 6 right now, total 37.5. But yeah, I mean, Derek Carr at one point in that game last week was 12 of 18 for 37 yards and a pick. Like, yeah. It's not great over there.
No, it's terrible. There's no confidence. And without Taysom Hill, there's less confidence in him. at least they, when they have Taysom Hill healthy, they put him in, they feel good about themselves. But that's the problem. But think about this, Stormy. Carolina just went in there. They were a six-point dog. The Giants are going in there on a three-game winning streak, and they are the same dog.
Very, very, very interesting. Okay, so that's the way that we're looking, at least initially, at Giants Saints. How about the Dolphins? Do they bounce back after this as a 9-point favorite against a Jets team that seemed to wake up and find a little something with Zach Wilson in the second half last week?
Well, I think we got to check on Tyreek Hill's health, right?
Sure.
I mean, I think that's got to be the number one thing. You got to be really careful to lay big numbers with the Dolphins now, especially considering the fact that when they played the Raiders at home, they didn't cover that number. They covered the Washington number. They did cover the Jet number when they came up on Black Friday. But to me, it's all going to come down to Tyreek Hill. Is he healthy? Is he healthy? Can he play well? And can he kind of control the game with his speed and his athleticism? I would suspect they bounce back. But look, let's be clear here. The Jets front is 10 times better than the Tennessee front. And that Tennessee front gave Tua all sorts of trouble, especially when Hill wasn't in the game.
So I mentioned this earlier, and we've talked about it a number of times. You and I are not doctors, so I don't know the status of where he's at, and we're going to find out throughout the course of the week how this ankle is. But I have injured my ankle in the past where I've stepped off a ledge and I thought I broke my ankle. I was freaking out. It hurt so bad. The rest of the day, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I end up being fine after a couple of days. I think it's similar to what we saw with Trevor Lawrence last week, where he throws the helmet. He can hardly walk up the tunnel. Plays in a National Football League game this past week, throws three touchdowns, did throw three picks
and runs and moves around.
Yes.
And he moved around.
And look mobile.
So
I'm hopeful.
Great.
So I'm hopeful that's what the case is for Tyreek. We don't know, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I am too. But to me, when your game is so predicated on quickness and lateral quickness, along with the great vertical speed, you need that. And I think if there's swelling in it today, we're going to know. Trevor Lawrence was on the practice field on Wednesday. We saw that. So we kind of had an idea. It wasn't a high ankle on Wednesday when we had video of him out there. Be interesting to see where Hill is this week. I doubt, he usually takes a day off from practice anyway. So I doubt if he'll be out there. But that's going to go a long way. If that line starts to move quickly towards the Jets and it gets down to 7, it gets down to a touchdown, I think that's telling you something right there.
So the Titans win this game in remarkable fashion. Now they have the benefit of playing, which again, credit Vrabel. Okay, I was going to move on to their game this week, but I didn't get your opinion earlier. What did you make of Vrabel going for 2 when they scored down 14 in that instance?
I think Vrabel said, look, I got nothing to lose. Mm. When that drive started, I think it was early in the drive, Levis threw one of his short hops to the shorts to the first baseman. And they panned over to the sideline of the Titans. And there just looked like there had no energy at all in there. None. They had zero energy. And then they make the big play and they get it down there. And then all of a sudden they came to life. And I think that Vrabel just said, look, what do we have to lose? We'll go for it too. If we get it, great. And if we don't get it, we'll go for 2 and we'll tie the game. So, it was the right thing to play. I think to me, it's always, you think it's great because it works.
Yeah.
I think his situation lends itself to the perfect place. I wasn't sure, when we saw it with the Jaguars in a close game, I would rather get to overtime when I'm playing against a good group and I have a lot at stake. I'd rather take that chance than I would if I were Tennessee, where I have nothing to play for.
I feel like that's one of those calls where when it works, we're praising. When it doesn't work, it's why'd you do that? So in this case, it worked and it ended up being awesome. And credit the Titans once again for getting that win. But they're a team that's used to being in an underdog capacity, and rightfully so with how this season has gone. Now they're home favorites against the Texans this coming week. CJ Stroud obviously dealing with the concussion protocol. He was missing a lot of weapons this past week. You think that 2 is about the right number, total 38? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think if Stroud doesn't play and you get Davis Mills, it's a completely different offense. And, when we saw Levis throw the ball, the last 2 weeks Levis has played better in terms of making more plays. He hasn't been great. He's been inconsistent. But I think that's the right number. Look, I said this earlier in the week. I didn't think all the Vrabel stuff applied anymore. you know, him being a dog on the road. And I still don't. I mean, they kind of got everything went their way. And it took a major collapse. I mean, here's an offense that is one of the greatest offenses we've seen in a long time. And they get the ball back with 2:40 to go in the game, the Miami Dolphins. And they end up punting it back 32 seconds later. Think about that, Stormy. They had a chance to win the game right there. And not only do the Miami Dolphins get the ball, but give them back the ball, they have a minute 42 to go with no timeouts and a chance to get the game. And all we need is a field goal to win the game. And they can't do that. Like, there's something wrong there. Think about those two things I just said. They couldn't close it out, and they couldn't go win it.
At home. Like, that's
at home.
The Dolphins at home, we talked so much about how they're a different team. They need home field advantage. They need that number one seed so that they can have that opportunity. We talk about how they beat up on teams that aren't very good, and everything was showing up Dolphins. Yet they could not get it done, and unbelievable. And now we see them as a 9-point favorite this week against the Jets. I don't know how I'm gonna play this game, if at all. The +9 is certainly pretty tempting, but then you also imagine this is a Dolphins team that's got to exercise some demons too. So I'll probably go a little bit back and forth on that one. But the +9 seems kind of attractive to me right now.
It does.
If the Jets offense gets,
can you count on Zach Wilson? Are you counting on him?
If let's just let Nathaniel Hackett let go. Hands off, buddy. Just hands off. And then I think it'll be much better. We'll be right back.
Think about this. They won 34.
Yeah.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge this college bowl season, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with our introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to the daily recap of top plays made by every VSiN show host and guest. You also get tools like our betting splits to let you see where the money and bets are moving for every game, and our college bowl betting guide where you get picks on every bowl game. Don't miss out, though. It's a limited time offer. VSiN.com/subscribe is where you can do it. Sign up for just $9.99. Become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We're rolling along here on the Lombardi Line. And as we continue to reflect on what was such a hectic night in the Monday Night Football doubleheader yesterday and move that forward to the games this upcoming week, we were talking about Miami taking on the Jets in their, you know, rematch part two of the series coming up this weekend. But you were about to say something about that previous matchup, Michael. What do you have for the people at home?
Well, I mean, we got so caught up in the Tim Boyle fiasco and the Hail Mary that we lost sight of the fact that, you know, that game was actually a close game. I mean, they couldn't move the ball at all. And the Dolphins turned it over three times in the game. One for a pick six, which the Jets got, and then the other time, you know, right when before the second half, before the Hail Mary. So they were able to turn the ball over. They were playing good. The Hail Mary took all the basically took everything out of it. And they were a 9.5-point favorite in that game. Now, they won rather easily and covered. But I think that's a little bit – I don't know if we can use that game to decide on this game. Last game, they were 11 for 16. Miami was on third down. You know, they had 395 yards. They turned it over three times. I think that was the biggest issue. They controlled the ball for 35 minutes plus. You know, and Tua had 243 yards and 30 attempts. So they didn't give up a big play, but he was able to kind of distribute the football and take the profits and convert third downs.
Yeah, and the Jets defense was able to turn him over. I do agree with you from that standpoint, because we're not going to get Tim Boyle. Maybe Zach Wilson's got a little bit of confidence coming off the second half performance he was able to put together as a coaching staff. They said, hey, let's take the reins off a little bit, let him be him, play to his strengths. And maybe now with the pressure off a little bit, he can just have fun playing the game. We'll see. But you mentioned that Hail Mary, though, Michael, and I swear to you, I just chuckle every time I think about the reporter going up to Robert Saleh immediately following that moment and him just saying that was unfortunate. Like, I just, okay.
I mean, well, we're going to have to listen to, you know, we got Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's coming back, right? The window's closed. It's going to close fairly soon, right?
It's got to. I didn't see any clips come through just yet from Pat McAfee Tuesday. But if I see anything that's like a really notable quote, I'll make sure that I pipe it in here throughout this hour. Because of course, there's got to be some update of sorts. The last that I heard was obviously the window is open. He was going to be able to be practicing and whatnot with the hope of the Commanders game coming up. But I feel like it's not going to happen. I hate that it's something that we keep talking about. So unless it's a really pressing thing, I'm not going to subject you to that conversation, Michael.
Thank you.
But to go back to Miami briefly, they will still get the one seed if they win out, right? It's because they'd beat Baltimore. Now, it is a tough road ahead. They have the Jets this week, as we referenced, the Cowboys in Baltimore against the Ravens, and the Bills to close out the regular season. The AFC playoff picture right now: Ravens 1, Dolphins 2, Chiefs, who beat the Dolphins in Germany a game back, Jaguars, and then look at the wild cards. 5, Browns with backup quarterback Joe Flacco, Steelers with backup quarterback Mitch Trubisky, Colts with backup quarterback Gardner Minshew, and then we have more with the Bengals, Broncos, Bills, and Texans all lurking at 7-6. It is a wild playoff
picture. I think Buffalo slid down after that game last night. I think Buffalo was 10. They went to 11. Cincinnati's now 10th. Denver's still at 9th. You know, so look, I think for the quality of the game, I hope Buffalo and Denver can get in. I hope Houston gets in too, because I think Houston, if they're healthy, Tank Dell's not going to obviously be healthy, but if they are healthy, you know, they could be a really interesting story, and it'd be great for the franchise because it would give C.J. Stroud some experience to play in playoff games. So that would be great. But, you know, I don't see it, because I think, to me, it's hard. The Colts are the interesting team, right? Because the Colts are really good on offense. I think Steichen's done a great job. It's just their defense has been so disappointing. Can't stop the run. Can't get off the field on third down. Don't play with any physicality. Teams move the ball. Again, don't count Pittsburgh out either here. Now, I know they're 7-6, and Mason Rudolph's going to get more reps this week, and he could bench – he could bench MVP Mitch if MVP Mitch starts slow in the game. So keep an eye on that. I'm not saying Rudolph's better than Mitch. It's just, to me, you know, I think that Tomlin wants to prepare himself if he has to make a change, unlike what Antonio Pierce did.
It's just crazy to me that you think about teams that are kind of trending in different directions right now, and that the Steelers are sitting there. Who would you trust more in the playoffs right now, the Steelers or the Bills? Right, and the Bills are on the outside looking in, and it's just...
I trust Josh Allen, just because it's Josh Allen. I mean, like, do you see some of the plays he made? The one play that he made where he was getting sacked and tackled, and he threw the ball kind of in between two defenders on fourth down. It's like, who makes that play? Like, who? Now, he's going to give you an interception, but there's make plays like you take him off that team. Just say you took Josh Allen and played the Al Davis game, which we would always say, put him on our team. That's what Al Davis used to like to say. I'll just put him on our team. Like, just put Josh Allen on some of these teams. Put him on New England's. What do you think their record is? Put him on the Jets. What do you think their record is? You know, put him on Tennessee. Like, to me, we get so caught up in how good these teams are. Well, it's the guy who tilts the field who's really good, and that's Allen, and that's why I want to see him make the playoffs.
So there are a couple guys that can tilt the field, a couple teams and units as well. And I was looking at, Steph put together some DraftKings championship specials. And it's really interesting. There's one bet you can do on which division is going to win the Super Bowl. And so I'm curious if there are some teams or players that you think can tilt things as far as a division goes, where you think there's value on the bet. The one that's the favorite here at NFC West plus 225, I think if you're going to bet an NFC West, just bet the 49ers, because from a value perspective, 49ers are plus 240 to win the Super Bowl. Just bet them. Nobody else in the NFC West is going to win, in my mind. But beyond that, I think there are some interesting ones. The NFC East plus 350, you get both the Eagles and Cowboys thrown into that one. AFC North at 5-1. This one could be valuable because you got the Ravens, Browns, Bengals, and Steelers, who are all kind of in position to be in the playoffs. So that's intriguing. Anything stand out to you here?
Well, I mean, I think the West, we can't, there's no way. I don't see Denver catching Kansas City, so I would eliminate that one.
Okay.
Right? I think the AFC South is anyone's guess. The NFC South, the 25-1, you know, I mean, who will win the Super Bowl? Forget the South.
The NFC
that
South, that's St. Jude's. That's your special. That's your St. Jude's special on this
They're
odds board.
And the same thing goes for the AFC South. I read that thing wrong. I was like, okay, I read that wrong. You know, I mean, I think you got to take the East. You got to take the NFC West. And I think you got to take the AFC West. Those are the three best options. I don't see Buffalo winning the Super. I think Buffalo getting in could be a nice story. Mm. Maybe the South, maybe the North with Baltimore. Those would be the only four I would play.
Well, after what I just saw with Miami, like I don't think that you can trust that team in the postseason now, especially if they're not going to get home field.
No, plus you can't trust them against a physical team. This is what worries you about laying the 9.5 or the 9 this week. Because if they go in, that offensive line still is not going to play to any level. I mean, they haven't been good. And if Hill's not 100% and people take chances and go after Tua, what do you have? I mean, look, they scored 7 points last night. I know they had 27 on the scoreboard. They scored. They made one offense. They didn't score in the first half, Stormy. They didn't have a touchdown in the first half offensively.
Bills are a long shot to overtake the Dolphins in the division, but it's possible now because of what happened yesterday and because of the way that the Bills just won. I mean, they've got a tough road ahead, don't get me wrong, but games they have to win, so they're very, very motivated right now. The AFC North is the one that just keeps staring at me because you have all these teams that, and not all four are going to make it in, although technically, given the way that the playoff structure is now, all four could. I don't see that happening, but that's what gives you the most opportunity, I would say, if somebody else could squeak in. But
all
again,
right, so the way you asked that question, let me ask you a question. Are you more inclined to take Buffalo and lay the 2.5 to Dallas, knowing that they have a pathway to get there?
I don't think I can. So this is a really, really tricky one, and I was very confident in the Cowboys and the Bills this past week. Now that they have to face each other, I'm very much so on the fence because I do understand the standpoint of, like, Bills have to win. They've figured some things out. They're letting Josh Allen use his tools and be himself and not saving him for anything. Like, this, every game is a playoff game for them now. But the Cowboys are just kind of next level the way they're operating their offense. And I'm just not sure that the Bills.
And it's on carpet too. Remember, it's on carpet. The Cowboys are a different team when they play on a tough surface. Now we got to check the weather in terms of what will it be like in Western New York. But you know, right now I'm looking at it, and it looks like it's. Let me see.
I mean,
here.
doesn't getting points with the Cowboys though feel kind of like a gift?
Yeah, it does. Feels like I said last week. It's not a chance. 42 and a slight chance of rain.
Okay. Yep. We'll keep our eyes on that weather report. Well, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We got some college football on deck next. Aaron Moore is going to join us.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The most wonderful time of year can also be the most stressful time when it comes to finding the perfect gift for those who matter most. Fortunately, Omaha Steaks is here to help you out, the convenient and thoughtful gift that's guaranteed to delight every person on your wish list every single time. Shop carefully curated gift packages that are guaranteed to make spirits brighter all winter long. Go to omahasteaks.com, save 50% off site-wide. Plus, when you use our promo code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N at checkout, you get an additional $30 off your order. This offer is not going to last long, though, just special for this holiday season. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away, so shop early, beat the shipping rush, visit omahasteaks.com, and again, take advantage of the 50% off site-wide, plus our promo code VSIN gets you that extra $30 off. Minimum order may be required. Welcome back into the Lombardi Line on VSIN and DraftKings Network, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonatoni with you. Excited to welcome in great friend of the show, Aaron Moore, at Pub Relation Prof, where despite us usually diving right into college football knowledge, which we'll get to some bowl season talk in a moment, if you scroll through Aaron's timeline on X right now, you're going to see a lot of Chargers talk, and it has not been particularly happy. Then we get the news today that Justin Herbert is done for the rest of the season with that fractured index finger. How are we holding up, Aaron?
Oh, you know what, Stormy? It is another December, and it's heartache for being a Chargers fan. And the funny part is, here I am talking about being a Chargers fan. What are there, about 74 other people in the rest of the world that call themselves a Chargers fan? So it's hard, but it's not surprising. It really is. As I would say about being a Chargers fan, you are a gerbil stuck on that wheel, just turning and turning and turning. If you look at the last couple decades, you know the great quarterbacks they've had, the great offensive players they've had. and just bad luck follows them. And I think the interesting thing is you can have all the different quarterbacks, you can have all the great players like Khalil Mack, who's having a fantastic year. I think that's really going unnoticed, is the fantastic year Khalil Mack is going. But there is one common denominator, and that's Dean Spanos and the Spanos family running that franchise. So every year we talk about, well, this will be the year the Chargers have good luck. This is the year one of the Chargers Hall of Fame level quarterbacks will lead them deep into the playoffs. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen for a multitude of reasons. And one of them really, I think, is the main reason is Dean Spanos running. He's not doing well. And it's really, if you look at the Chargers in terms of front office and ownership in all of sports, nepotism really is hurting them there. And it's been that case for the last 40 plus years since the Spanos family has owned the team.
It's been a long go, but I think they're finally gotten to the point where this could be the end of the Brendan Staley era. So that'll be interesting to see what they do moving forward, because, you know, look, they've got a quarterback. They got something. These jobs with quarterbacks that are really good rarely open. They rarely open. And this is going to be one that I think a lot of people are going to covet around the league because of Herbert.
But you know what, Michael, I would say with that, as great as Herbert is, they've had some really bad salaries. You have Keenan Allen having a great year as well, but he's up there in age. You have Khalil Mack up there in age. And I think you said it earlier, Michael, and I could not agree with you more, that every year they are overvalued. And really the reason the Chargers are overvalued in terms of betting or just NFL fans and talking about the NFL is they have stars. But stars don't always produce. And then the problem now with the stars and the contract is next year they're going to have to get rid of a lot of players. If they keep Tom Telesco as a general manager, he has not really done well overall in building depth on the offensive and defensive line. So I'm concerned with Justin Herbert as to how quickly a new coach and possibly a new general manager can put in the pieces around him. So I think they have obviously a foundational player in Herbert. The problem is how quick can a new general manager and a coach put in the supplementary pieces they will need.
Aaron Moore joining us here live on the Lombardi
Line. You sound like me when talking about the 76ers, Aaron. I mean, there's a rehab center that I've gone to every year for the past 20. I can recommend it to you. I'll send it to you after the show. You need it. I think you do. Aaron, you need to get some of this out.
Aaron, yeah. I always have to remind Michael that you are a fan. So I'll say the same to you. You are a fan. It's okay. There are things to be positive about.
Yeah, and I think about, you know, from the fandom standpoint, we talk about college football. I handicap college football. That really is one of the main things I do, college basketball. I live and die with the Chargers from an NFL fan standpoint, and that's one of the reasons I really don't bet that much NFL. And I think it becomes very difficult to balance that as a bettor. If you're a fan and you put your time into it, it then becomes difficult to all of a sudden cross that line and say, now I'm an objective handicapper. I think it's difficult. So for me, I really don't bet that much in terms of the NFL because of that fandom.
So it's funny that you say that, and not that I am a fan, but for me as a sideline reporter, when I cover a lot of games, I get so inundated with the stories and all of the information overload when I'm really, really diving into a game that I feel like sometimes I have a really tough read for how the game's actually going to go because you find yourself kind of rooting for people and the game within the game. And one of the games that I'm doing is the game that kicks off bowl season coming up this Saturday, the Myrtle Beach Bowl with Ohio and Georgia Southern. And I'm glad this is a game that you bet. So maybe you can give me a little bit of perspective for how things are going to go. This is a game where we saw Ohio open up a favorite. They're now a 3.5-point dog after it was announced that Curtis Rourke, who's one of the best G5 quarterbacks in the country, is in the transfer portal. He's moving on, along with a number of other skill players that have entered the portal. What's your perspective on this game? And it looks like you're taking some alternate angles too.
Yeah, Stormy, I think the big aspect as we kick off bowl season is looking at Ohio without their top quarterback, without their wide receiver, without the running back. That has to have an impact on the game. I don't care what team, what bowl, what level. That has to have an impact. So I'm looking at it a little different than instead of just fading Ohio and taking Georgia Southern. And Georgia Southern lost 4 straight games to end the season. So you know, just don't jump on the Georgia Southern bandwagon because of all those opt-outs in terms of Ohio. I'm looking at it to see these opt-outs might impact the way the game starts in terms of the flow offensively. So I got some different numbers. I'm playing the under 10.5 in the first quarter. And here's an interesting aspect about Ohio. Even when they had those top guys, they've gone 7 straight games without the total in the first quarter going over 10 points. So now you're going to have a new quarterback, a new offense in there. I expect it to be running a little bit slower. So I'm going to take the 10.5 under the first quarter. And then I'm going to take under 24.5 in the first half, just in terms of hoping that this game starts out a little bit slow in what Ohio has new players out there. In a way, I'm fading Ohio, but I'm not banking totally on Georgia Southern. And I think that's one of the ways to approach the college football bowl betting season when you have all these opt-outs. It's not just bet against the team that has all these opt-outs, because in that way, you're still betting on another team. So the way I look at it, it's the opening bowl and Stormy, you know, that they haven't played in a while. It was November 24th for Ohio, their last game, and then Georgia Southern November 25th. So there's been time off. I'm hoping that time off leads to a slower game to start the Myrtle Beach Bowl game.
Spencer Danielson took over as the interim coach at Boise State. Then they made him the full-time coach, and now they're going to play a UCLA. It opened at +4. Now it's down to +2.5 for Boise State. You still like Boise even at that number?
Yeah, Michael, and I think here's one of the aspects, too, of opting out and motivation is you have UCLA and you have Chip Kelly. He's on the hot seat. I don't know how well some of these players are going to respond to him. Latu, their top defensive player, he's going to be one of the top picks in the NFL draft. He's not playing. UCLA does not have their offensive coordinator, their QB coach in terms of, their defensive coordinator. So they're missing a lot. So I don't like the motivation. And you have UCLA playing in the LA Bowl, and to tie it back to the Chargers, they're playing at SoFi Stadium where you rarely get home fans. UCLA doesn't get home fans at the Rose Bowl. So I don't see a lot of motivation in terms of UCLA. Be wary, though, with Boise State. They are going to be on their third quarterback, a true freshman. CJ Tiller is starting. You've got a true freshman. Obviously, that's one of the reasons they're going to be a underdog here. But this true freshman has been in there since the spring. I just look at this as motivation. I don't know about the guys who are still there for UCLA, if they see Chip Kelly there long term. I look at this as an opportunity to take some points with a motivated team, because Boise State obviously finished the season well, winning the Mountain West.
Aaron, so appreciate your time and, you know, good luck moving forward with the Chargers. I'm going to send you all the positive vibes. As somebody who used to live in San Diego, I was sad that they left too.
It's next year is the next year. And you know what I'm going to tell you at this point next year? Next year is then the next
Come
year
on.
For the Chargers.
Great stuff as always. That's our guy, Aaron Moore. Again, check him out on Twitter at PubRelationTwoff or on X. I'm like the worst at that. One day I'll get it down. And again, subtle plug, Myrtle Beach Bowl, 11 a.m. Eastern kickoff on ESPN. Come check us out. First bowl game of the bowl season. Yep, we'll be out there. Maybe get some putt-putt in this weekend as well. We'll see. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook's got your back. This week, new customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on hoops. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VSIN, that's V-S-I-N, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Time for our pro tip of the day. We do these every single day. You can find them at VSIN.com, searchable by sport and by show. But shout out Aaron Moore, who gave us a great nugget, Michael, because we were talking college football.
Don't bet the Chargers. Is that what his nugget?
Throw that on the graphic, Steph. Don't bet the Chargers. Just don't bet on the Spanos family, period. We don't like them. No, but we were talking about college football and just how with all of these transfer portal guys in and out, opt-outs for guys that are getting ready for the draft, that you don't always need to focus exclusively on the spread for a game, because those are going to be where bookmakers are paying the most attention to, too. There are alternate angles that you can target, live betting opportunities in these games, take team motivation into account. Bowl season is a very intriguing time from a betting perspective, I think.
No question. And, you know, the motivation of the team, right? Like what Aaron was saying about UCLA's team. Yes, Chip Kelly's always under fire at UCLA, you know, and now they're going into the Big Ten. You know, he lost more, that recruit that he flipped from Oregon. Now we think he may go to Michigan State. Today we learned Riley Leonard's going to go to Notre Dame, which we all suspected. So it's kind of up in grabs. And I think, what is the true motivation of these teams when they enter, and how together are these teams when they enter? There's a lot of fracturing going on, which makes no sense to me at all, why you would open the portal up when we're not done the college season. We still have a season to go. I mean, you know, Ohio State, McCord's talking about going to Nebraska somewhere else, and he was their starting quarterback all year, and now you don't know where we're going to go.
Yeah, it is. I feel like we use this phrase all the time, but it's really become the wild, wild west. And I know that the plan is for there to get a little bit more regulation and understanding when it comes to NIL, because especially for like a lot of these quarterbacks that are at lower level schools, for example, I think Curtis Rourke, who we were discussing with Ohio, is a prime example. Like, how much money is that kid being offered? He was one of the top group of five quarterbacks in the country. He was setting records at Ohio, and now he's available on the market. Like, these opportunities, like, you understand why kids want them. And at this point in the season, if your coach can leave and ditch you for the bowl game, why can't you? And so it's a trend that's really taken off. I think Christian McCaffrey is the first guy that I really remember this being like a huge deal when he was going into the draft and he wasn't playing. And ever since then, it's just become more and more heavy from that standpoint. So I think it's great from a betting perspective. There are going to be some instances where you can take advantage of this. Again, VSiN pro tips available at VSiN.com. And while we're on college football, too, finally officially official as well, Drake May has declared that he's going to forego the Duke's Mayo Bowl, and he's going to go ahead and take his shots in the NFL draft, which, Michael, we've talked about this before, and I wonder if you still feel pretty firm on this stance that it's not necessarily a done deal. Granted, the talent that Caleb Williams has is inarguable, but there are some other factors that obviously get taken into account through the draft process, and Drake May at a plus money price, I know you liked at one point. Do you still find interest there?
Oh, yeah, I still do. Yeah, because of the, you know, look, part of taking a quarterback is also understanding who the quarterback is as a person. He's going to be the leader of your team. He's going to be the spokesman for your team. You're going to build your franchise around him. And you've got to make sure you pick the right guy. I think that's one of the issues with Arizona, with Kyler Murray. Now, he seems to have turned the corner and has matured and gotten better, according to people I talked to there. But there was a huge disconnect between him and his teammates at Arizona, and that affected their team. And so you've got to be really sure. Now, you can't give up on talent completely, but you got to make sure you're getting the right leader into your organization, because essentially he is the leader. We see this with Joshua Dobbs at times when he comes in. We saw it with DeVito last night. There is a momentum that a quarterback gives you that when he is endeared to his teammates, that transposes itself onto the team. I mean, look at the Patriots. I mean, you can, you know, nobody's going to say it, but there's not a sense of connectivity between Mac Jones and his teammates.
Yeah, the likability factor, the guy that galvanizes a group that you rally around, those things are super important. Caleb Williams, as of right now, minus 650, very heavy favorite in this spot to be the number one overall selection in the 2024 NFL draft. Drake May, plus 450, still available from that standpoint. Without him on the field for the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which, why would you want to miss that? Miss an opportunity to see Mayo getting dunked on a head coach? Come on. Although, please don't do that to Mac Brown if they win. Please don't. He's such a nice man. I don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see that to Mac Brown. Shane Beamer, it was a different story. But this, North Carolina, +5.5 against West Virginia, total 56.5. Let's close out these last couple of minutes, like we typically do on a Tuesday show, looking at some of the early betting handle and splits and some of those lopsided ones looking ahead to week 15 in the NFL. Let's start with this NFC South matchup. The Falcons, a 3-point favorite in Carolina, taking on the Panthers. 90% of early bets and 88% of handle feels comfortable laying it with the Falcons.
You know, I mean, look, the Falcons were really good last week. I mean, they moved the ball up and down the field on the Bucs. The Bucs never had control of the game. They were up 12-10 at the half. But, you know, they just couldn't quite get Atlanta to stop. Atlanta turned the ball over, which gave the Bucs 7 points early in the game. He throws a hitch screen out there that gets picked off. Can you imagine that? And they run the ball. Then they get the lead. And Mayfield, who had done nothing all day, I mean nothing all day, Mayfield leads them down for the winning touchdown to win the game. So, you know, look, Atlanta is one of those teams that are hard to trust. They were on a 2-game win streak. I was on the Bucs last week because they're so inconsistent. This could be the week to be on the Panthers, because the Panthers last week, when you watch that tape, Stormy, they could have covered that 6 number easily, 5.5. I mean, they just do a lot of bad things at the wrong time, like bad teams do. And then the quarterback, who's now starting to hurry up a little bit, he's missing throws that he used to make, and he's actually getting worse instead of better. And he's taken too much punishment. And even though they can run the football effectively, which they should be able to do against Atlanta, you worry about, can they make enough plays? They get one negative play a drive, they have to punt.
Yeah, that Panthers defense deserves better than what they've gotten on the other side of the ball. And I told you, I don't, because my husband is a Panthers fan and he's been so aggressively angry at the way that they've performed this season, I don't even get to watch Panthers games unless in my free time on YouTube, skimming through the clips from the night before, because he turns off the TV. He refuses to have it once you get beyond the first quarter and they start messing things up. How about the Rams? They're laying 7 against the Commanders. This was a game you brought up to me a little bit earlier and said, is it time to fade the Rams? Lane 7.
Well, I know on paper, look, they're getting all the money. They're getting all the action, you know, and who can trust Washington? It was 6.5 and it jumped up to 7. You know, will it get to 7.5? I don't know. You know, we know this, the Washington Commanders can throw the football. Howe, with a week off, should feel better and run and be better. I just don't know if they can cover anybody of the Rams, especially the way Stafford plays when he's home. And they get the lead with Williams running the football. They kind of take the pressure off their defense. It's going to be a public play right there. I mean, I don't think you're going to see a lot of people taking Washington at all. And I think we're seeing this early in the market. The Rams are the public. The Rams are the play. The numbers already moved to their towards them.
I would have laid it at 6.5 with the Rams in this spot. I just think, especially when you look at the Commanders' recent scores, 45-15 to Miami, 45-10 to Dallas, 31-19 to the Giants, you know, like, and the Rams have been clicking at such a high rate offensively. Matt Stafford has been great lately. They just went toe-to-toe with the Ravens, and like, the Ravens got bailed out on a punt return touchdown, 76 yards in overtime. It's the only reason they won that game. So it's a big number, but I think that the Rams are in a much better place than Washington at this point.
Like, I think it gets to 8. I really do. Yeah. I mean, I ran my numbers this morning. I have it as an 8.33 game. I think it'll get to 8. I think at some point, you know, what you worry about is, what is the motivation? We read this morning, Tennessee, look, you know, everybody thought it was going to be a Denver game, 70-20. You know, we had a lot to prove here. You did. But you also you were very fortunate to win that game. I don't know where Washington's motivation is. Everybody knows Rivera's not going to be back. Everybody knows they fired the defense coordinator. So, who's playing for who at this point? And how much focus and concentration do they have? Whereas McVay, his team is focused.
Yeah. Let's hit one more. A lot of folks think the Eagles, this is the week they bounce back against a limping Seattle team. They're laying 3.5.
That number was 4.5, and all the money's been coming in on Philly, and it moved to 3.5. What does that tell you, Stormy? I think this is a dangerous place for Philly. Everybody just assumes Philly's going to go up there and play well. Look, Seattle has skill players. If Geno Smith plays, we don't know that. We don't know if he's healthy, but they will throw the ball on this bad secondary.
Certainly struggled without Geno against the San Francisco 49ers. His health will hopefully get an update on soon. Fun show today, Michael. I said in the last commercial break, I couldn't believe that we were already on the last segment. This went by fast.
it goes too fast. But we have so much to talk about, and we didn't even talk about Aaron Rodgers today. I mean, what are we going
to
do?
I'm sure you're so excited for us to lead the show with that tomorrow. Thanks again for joining us. This is the Lombardi Line. We got Sharp Money coming up next on VSiN. Pablo Torre on DraftKings Network. Keep it locked right here.